But with that, we better use these last few minutes to talk about the most fascinating part of Ernie's time here at KFUN.
And if we don't finish by the top of the hour, do you have an appointment that you got to go to right after 10?
No.
Well, after the 10 o'clock news, we can take a five-minute break or so. And if you want, we can come back and continue with Ernie's battle with the War Department.
Let me introduce it this way. During World War II, ladies and gentlemen, during World War II, and you've got to appreciate the times and how people were so alarmed at what was happening throughout the world, the U.S. War Department, what later became the Department of Defense, then called the War Department, established what was called the Office of Censorship. The Office of Censorship. It was an arm, an agency of the Federal War Department. And that office was charged with monitoring and keeping tabs on all television and radio stations throughout the United States. And there were thousands. To make sure that there was no seditious propaganda or news reports made over the airwaves, especially the radio airwaves, in a foreign language. It was focusing on foreign languages. And there were many, many stations on the East Coast that broadcast programs in Italian for the many Italian audiences there, also on the East Coast and also in the Midwest. There were stations that broadcast in German for the extensive German populations in those areas. And then there were some stations also that had Greek broadcasts because there were some very, very substantial enclaves of Greek people in many parts of the United States. And then, of course, in the Southwest, there were some stations, and in California, that had partial broadcasts in Spanish for their Spanish audiences. So the War Department, through its Office of Censorship, was very concerned that seditious propaganda not escape through the airwaves over these foreign language programs being broadcast through the radio stations throughout the United States. So they issued all kinds of directives and edicts to these radio stations saying, hey, you need to monitor your foreign language broadcasts, and you've got to make sure that nothing seditious goes through. You've got to have censors. You've got to have self-imposed censors in at your radio stations who will actually prepare scripts in advance and review scripts, both news and non-news, to make sure we filter anything that might be considered alien or seditious.
And to turn those documents over to the censorship department.
Right.
And any recordings.
Right. And so it was a pretty routine directive issued during the trying times of the war, and so every station in the country complied. Every single station, and there were thousands, except for one in the entire United States of America. And it was KFUN. And there was this guy in Las Vegas, New Mexico, by the name of Ernie Thwaites, who refused, who steadfastly and unequivocally refused to censor his Spanish program. For two reasons, essentially. He gave two reasons to the federal government. He said, number one, Spanish is not a foreign language in Las Vegas, New Mexico.
Yeah.
That was his main point. It is not a foreign language here and in most of New Mexico. So this directive, this law, should not apply to me. because it's just not a foreign language. Most of the people here speak it and understand it. So I will not agree that it is a foreign language. Number two, Ernie was quite a libertarian. He really was. He was officially a Republican. He even ran for the State House of Representatives, I think, in 58, as a Republican and lost. But he was at heart a libertarian. And he said, it is my constitutional right to broadcast in Spanish without censorship, without monitoring, without pre-prepared scripts. So he defied the feds, he refused their directives, and this went on for first weeks and then months. And don't forget, ladies and gentlemen, he was the only radio station owner in the entire country to defiantly refuse to impose the censorship guidelines. They didn't know what in the world to do with this man.
I know.
They didn't know how to deal with him, because he was at once, at the same time, he was nothing but a little small fry in this little town in Las Vegas, New Mexico. And at the same time, that one little station, that one little owner could turn this into a cause célèbre, a real big issue in the entire country over censorship, over First Amendment rights of freedom of speech and of the press. So for months there was a standoff as to how to deal with this radio station owner. And it went, Joseph, as you well know, to the highest levels,
yep,
to the highest echelons,
mm-hmm,
of the federal government,
yep,
in both the War Department and even all the way to the White House, because the feds were just afraid that this one little small fry could cause so many problems. And eventually Ernie won the battle, and although he voluntarily pulled his Spanish program from the air for just a little while rather than comply.
Yep.
He did that in defiance again. He said, if you're going to shut me down, I'd rather pull off the program than censor it.
Jesus, well, at some point, the government was even thinking of doing a complete takeover of the radio industry, but they were also pretty much putting those restrictions on print media as well. When that idea was discussed, it says that that suggestion might carry an implied threat of future mandatory censorship or criminal penalties, as they did during the only episode of open defiance of the Office of Censorship by medium of mass communication, radio station KFUN in Las Vegas, New Mexico, which was upset in 1943 about the Spanish language broadcast restrictions. Ernie Thwaites really was in danger of the government taking away his license, losing the station, losing the property, landed in prison for 10 years, and being fined $10,000, including Dorothy's personal belongings. He was risking a lot for standing up for what he believed.
What he did, Joseph, he and Dorothy, because Dorothy was right with him,
mm-hmm,
was very courageous.
Yep.
It was very courageous. He had a lot to lose. He was risking his livelihood. He was risking his radio station. And he was risking a possible penal
yeah,
penalty. And
mm-hmm,
as you said,
yeah,
the penalty was 10 years in the federal penitentiary.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? He never capitulated. He never gave in. He was defiant to the very end and never, ever censored his Spanish program here. And they never did get him to do it.
Yep.
And the war finally ended and the issue went away. But not because they beat Ernie Thwaites. And that is an incredible part of the history of this program. And it happened only as it could in Las Vegas, New Mexico.
And you know, and the government and all the people involved, the War Department, Censorship Department, everybody, and including the White House and also Herbert Hoover, they were concerned that Ernie Thwaites' actions and defiance of the government could start whirlwind of defiance throughout the country. One of the reasons also that they kind of backed off and they didn't know how to handle him is because Ernie used a good strategy, and I think the community and the citizens of Las Vegas, and he got people riled up not only in Las Vegas, but in New Mexico, and that's what they were concerned about too. So I think the community of Las Vegas and the citizens deserve a lot of credit because they stood by him, even when his attorney from Albuquerque told him, no, I am not going to represent you against the FCC or against the censorship department. You're walking alone here. But what the community started doing was writing letters to the War Department, the censorship department, protesting and saying you're discriminating against the Spanish people, against the Spanish language. They got flooded with so many letters, not only from Las Vegas, but throughout the state, to where they didn't know what to do with Ernie Thwaites. So the people in Las Vegas deserve a lot of credit, too, because they protected KFUN. They were protecting their native tongue, their culture, and the Spanish language, and they were protecting their radio station is what they were doing.
I hope everyone enjoyed this wonderful history of KFUN, of Ernie and Dorothy Thwaites in particular, and I hope we can all acknowledge that KFUN was founded by a gentleman who was at once cantankerous, there is no question about that, and stubborn, but who was also one of the most courageous, if not the most courageous, radio broadcaster in all the country during World War II, at least.
Bye-bye.